and local with Monica Jay on 92.3 FM and 99.1 FM Talk. This segment is brought to you by HireMeNevada.com.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Thanks for being here today. I know you got better things to do, but if you miss any part of the show, make sure you log on to 991fmtalk.com, where you can also answer the poll question of today. But you can also check out the podcasts of any shows out there for, well, almost since I've started, since we started putting the shows on our podcast there. Hey, stick around. 11:30, we're going to be having Wayne Thorley, the Deputy Secretary of State for Elections. He'll be on again with us at 11:30. So we'll talk about, well, the most important thing we do, elections. So let's mention the poll question here quickly, brought to you by, of course, Nissan of Carson City. We greatly appreciate them for that. Will viruses and vaccines be the new form of terrorism? So far, we've got 88% of those participating in the poll saying yes, unfortunately. 11% saying no. We had Bill Gates come out and say it himself. You know, computer guy, now I guess epidemiologist or whatnot. All about the vaccines and no. He's all about making money. That's what he's all about. Look at the people that he works with. Oh, Dr. Fauci comes to mind. Yeah. Why was hydroxychloroquine so downplayed when this whole virus came about? Probably because it costs pennies on the dollar to give someone. It's tried and true. It's been around since the 60s? Well, that's because they want to put a new drug out there that will cost people and hospitals thousands of dollars. So that's money in their pockets. But hey, that's just my opinion. I want to know your opinion. 884-9910. The talk and text lines are open right now. So sorry if there was any misunderstandings about that. So Lee and Terry and everybody else, you can call back in. 884-9910. Miguel sent me this email this morning right before the show. Monica, I'd like to add that going along with the poll question this morning, the terrorism one will be from the U.S. government. Like I said on this quote earlier this week, when government fears the people, there is liberty. When the people fear the government, there is tyranny. The goal of the radical left is for the people to fear them and to have a tyrannical, communistic government. This new form of vaccine and virus terrorism will be yet another way for them to gain control. I love the fact that I have such smart listeners. Man, that makes me feel good. All right. If we may, let's stop hearing me ramble on and go to the talk and text lines at 884-9910. And, oh, I guess we're not. So I will add to this point that this weekend, the only protest I can find is the one that will be happening in Carson City. So once again, Black Lives Matter will be there. And I don't know. I think they went back to Carson City because there, the sheriff didn't really do anything to deter them. Unlike Sheriff Coverley in the team in Minden-Gardnerville. They made it very clear to the protesters slash rioters, not in my town. Now, Ken Furlong, last time BLM was in Carson, he blocked 395, the main road. And they all got down in the streets and laid down. That's not the right way to treat these people. You can peacefully protest, but as soon as you get out of line, as soon as you start blocking traffic, as soon as you start breaking the law, because last time I checked, you weren't allowed to just go lay down in the street. As soon as you start doing that, you're done. But again, just my opinion. Let's go to the talk and text lines and check in with Lee this morning. Lee, thanks for calling the show. What's up?
You weren't allowed to just go lay down in the street. As soon as you start doing that.
Lee, are you there?
But again, just my opinion. Let's go to the talk.
Okay, we got to move on to Terry. There's an issue there with Lee's phone. So Terry wants to talk about the election. Terry, what's up? Terry, I can't hear Terry.
Well, there I am. Here I am. Monica?
Yes, Terry. Monica? Hi.
There you are. My phone's been acting weird. Listen,
so have ours.
I want to talk about the election for our great President Trump. And hearing that they collected $48 million or something like that. Did you hear about that?
Oh, well, the Democrats did, but I think that's probably just in the holding account from Act Blue. You know, they wanted to make it seem like it was something.
Well, you know, here's what I wanted to say to everybody. Just get into your checkbooks. These guys are going to, they pulled up the biggest snake they could find, and now she's got her face where we can see it. So in my opinion, let's get our checkbook and back Mr. Trump. I sent him $50 this morning in a money order. So that's not much, you know, but hey, it's something.
But
so
if Terry, that's a lot, actually, because I think the average personal donation is between $25 and $50. So that's fantastic. You know, Terry, the thing that concerns me, and Vance brought this up yesterday on the air, and I've seen a lot of it on Facebook, and I've been delving more into it. And if I'm reading this right, and if everybody else is, because again, it all falls back to interpretation. But when you go through the Federalist Papers and, you know, really what the intent was, she's not eligible to run. So I'm curious about this here. Here's my scenario, Terry. Again, this is just the way my mind works, but here's my scenario. Biden is going to progress so much that before the election even happens, he will step down. And Hillary Clinton, because she's the most polished candidate, will step into his place. And then she will get to choose her own vice presidential candidate because Kamala Harris is officially not able to run because her parents were not U.S. citizens when she was born here. Now, people get confused that, she was born here, so she's a natural citizen. No, she's not. What was that, Craig?
Somebody said
it was on one of the legal shows on Fox. They said, yes, she is.
Well, see, but I'm looking at a legal scholar here from the Constitution, a legal constitutional lawyer that says she's not because your parents have to be U.S. citizens. So this gets in again to the interpretation of this amendment. We're going to have to see how this plays out, but I have a feeling it's going to go before the Supreme Court and they're going to rule not in her favor. But that's go ahead, Terry.
Once I tried to grab a snake and I had a good grip on it and it got loose and tried to bite me. So we know how snakes are.
Yes, we do. And that pretty much describes the entire Democrat Party right now. Terry, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate your time and your good thoughts there. So let's go back to the phone line and see if we can get him back on. Lee, are you there?
I am there, and I've turned everything down. Thank you very much. How are you?
There we are. Very good. So you want to talk about something that just happened?
Yes, I do. And let me tell you what just happened. Of course, I'm going to be there tomorrow. But that's not what I'm talking about. I am so on your side when it comes to these masks. My wife just tried to get in to see a doctor. Okay? She has a phobia. She cannot wear the mask at all. I mean, she passes out almost. They won't let her see her doctor unless she wears a mask.
Yeah, that's control and intimidation.
And I am so angry. I'm on your side 185,000,000,000% now, Monica. You and I are friends. And if there's anything we can do at all, to regulate or unregulate this stupid, moronic mandate by our idiotic system governor, I'm on your side. I am so totally on your side.
Honestly, Lee, the only thing that people can do is just keep hammering him.
Yeah, I understand that. And I'm going to hammer. You know I can hammer. When I hammer, I know I can hammer. And I'm not playing their game anymore.
I find it very disappointing that doctors are playing into this, because doctors know better. And they take an oath to do no harm. And they know those masks are harming people, whether it be from mental phobias, whether it be from breathing the toxins back in. So I am very disappointed with the doctors here in Northern Nevada being threatened that their licenses will be pulled, or any business out there, that their licenses will be pulled, because we should be banding together on this, but we're not. So, Lee, thank you so much.
And it's sad.
Yeah, it's more than sad. It's pathetic. It really is. You know, the the virus is not a hoax. The virus is real, but it is not deadly enough to force an economy shut down like ours, and to force people to wear masks that don't work. So, Lee, I got to cut you loose. I got a quick break here.
All right,
so. Love you too. Tomorrow, Carson City, be out there. Whatever protest you want to be for, if it's counter protest against Black Lives Matter, if it's protesting the masks, if it's protesting to reopen the economy, make sure your voice is heard. We'll be back to talk in text lines at 884-9910 right after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada, 92.3 FM Talk for Mason and Smith Valley, in Reno, Carson, and Douglas County, 99.1 FM Talk.
92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Thanks for being here today. It has been a day. Always questions. Always questions. How do we get rid of the governor? What do we do? What do we do? Everybody's mad. Everybody's mad about masks. Everybody's mad about the economy shut down, the state still being closed down, and he's being a tyrannical governor, as is Gavin Newsom and all of the other Democrat governors keeping their states shut down over a farce. This is really just getting everybody to their wits' end, including me. So how do you get him out? You log on to fightfornevada.com. Fightfornevada.com. There is going to be volunteer training rallies. If you want to be involved, if you want to get this petition going, we need to have these volunteers in place. There's going to be one on Saturday at 1 p.m. in Battle Mountain at Elquist Park. And there's also going to be one at Fuji Park in Carson City on Sunday at 3 p.m. So if you didn't get those times, if you didn't get those locations, please just go on to fightfornevada.com. All right, Let's go to the talk and text lines. And when I need a question about the Constitution answered, I always go to Sean Meehan and protect me. Sean Meehan and protect our Constitution.org. Sean, thank you so much for being here. And our last caller that we had in the other segment, we were talking about Kamala Harris's eligibility. And it's all about the interpretation of the second part of the amendment that talks about who's eligible to be president. Now, you and a number of our listeners who actually read and interpret the Constitution in this way, she is not eligible because of her parents' citizenship. Explain how this is working.
Okay. I will tell you that this is something that is not understood in our modern society. And while I think we need to look at it, it's something that I'm worried is not going to get properly resolved going into the election. Having said that, a lot of people go to the 14th Amendment. That has nothing to do with being qualified for president. That has to do with the post-Civil War Reconstruction period and granting citizenship to black, formerly black slaves. The founders debated the need for a president to have a default loyalty to the republic. And that is, they had a book called The Tell's Law of Nations. It was an international law book of the time the Constitution was drafted that gave an understanding that you had to have two citizen parents that conveyed citizenship to the child via birth. And that conveyed a loyalty. I have yet to go back and verify, since Kamala Harris was selected as Biden's running mate, the status of her parents. But I believe, and I'm being told by a lot of people, that they, but neither one of them were American citizens at the time of her birth. So she is, Kamala Harris by birth, is an American citizen. The natural born has nothing to do with her being born alive. It has to do with the meaning that the founders intended by the Constitution when they drafted and ratified it, which is a default loyalty to the country. And I believe there's plenty of evidence, if it was litigated in the courts and looked at by constitutional scholars, without question, they would declare that she is not qualified. And this is vastly different than former President Obama's citizenship question that we're all familiar with. There are similar themes, but the legality and constitutionality and how it was investigated and interpreted are two completely different things that should not be conflated with each other.
Sean, does this go back to we don't teach the Constitution, we don't teach the Federalist Papers? I mean, is this a purpose of not doing this so the actual intent is lost over the years?
I think that's an excellent, excellent question, Monica. And you can't defend rights effectively that you're not aware of. Many people on our conservative side of the political fence go around saying unconstitutional, unconstitutional, and they're good-hearted patriots, but they simply don't know what they're talking about because, much like our liberal friends, they're not taught our Constitution. And I believe there's an active movement to do this, to make it easier to remove rights. I know there was a bill that I helped write that Assemblyman Wheeler carried in the last session, Assembly Bill 99, that was not even given a hearing in the committee on purpose to not bring it forward. There's also a group called We the People that received, I think it was $125,000 line item of funding from the state to allegedly teach constitutionalism in our schools in Nevada. But if you dig into the board of directors and who they are for this organization and approving the funding and the curriculum and the actual curriculum that they push, it's a modern progressive interpretation of the Constitution. And these people, just to let you know, an example of it is a lot of these We the People kids, and they're good young kids that want to be good patriots, but they're being misled, as you're inferring. They were in the National Popular Vote hearing testifying en masse in favor of the National Popular Vote that absolutely would throw the Electoral College under the bus and usurp the Constitution, which would help usher in a wave of progressive candidates. So We must go back to the original intent and founding, and we can still do what the founders intended and apply it to the modern situations in our society. And you're absolutely right to ask. We are grossly ignoring that priority.
You know, that it's all in the interpretation. It's just like how we have gotten away from the true word of the Bible. You know, it's spelled out in the Bible, but people have it interpreted it differently. Pastors and priests and ministers, and, you know, they even justify it by saying, well, this is what I believe he meant. And you can't do that with the Constitution. Well, you shouldn't do that with the Bible either, but you can't do that with the Constitution. You have to go to the Federalist Papers and not the progressive point of view to turn something to the intent of today. You know, oh, well, it's so much different than it was in George Washington's time. Yeah, but he saw what was coming. They saw what was coming. Sean, what is the best thing to do for people that want to find out really more about the Constitution? Because they're going to have to start teaching their kids, and they're going to have to learn themselves because it's under attack.
Well, that's a great question, Monica. I'm with Guard the Constitution, my organization. I'm still developing some of my curriculum. But what I would do is I would send people right now to two of my mentors on the Constitution. You want to Google Robert Brown, The Constitution is the Solution. He has a series of six videos that go through many, many things about the Constitution. They talk about the Federal Reserve, what is real money, what did the founders intend and why, about foreign wars and foreign alliances. They talk about why the president's elected the way he is, things like that. Then I would also ask people to Google, and I can send you the links for your page later, a woman who goes by the pen name Publius Hoodla. She's a nice old lady, constitutional attorney, that she goes down in very, very clinical mannerism, breaking down the references and all to the Constitution. And I would ask people to just read and be familiar with the general concept that we won the Revolutionary War and escaped tyranny of a British king. You have to have the tone and attitude of what was going on then to properly understand the text of the Constitution. For the first time in history, we had stood up clearly as a nation and a people and said, our authority comes from God, not from a king, and we do not have to ask permission to exercise it. And I believe if you can have that attitude and know what's justified and given to you as your individual unalienable rights, and then go in to study the text of the founders, if you want to get really hungry, Google the Federalist Papers, read all 85 of the Federalist Papers. They were the sales pitch published in random letters to the editors that helped the ratification of the Constitution because the people understood. And then I would also specifically ask the people to focus on Federalist 49, where it says that we, the people, are the fountain of all political power. Yeah. And go into it with that, and then just continue asking people questions like you're doing, and I've been wrong, and I will be wrong again. That's how I learned the Constitution. Don't be afraid to put it out there. Be wrong. Get love and suggestions and ideas from other people. And don't take it personally. Re-engage. Get back in the fight. And eventually, you'll wake up one day, and you'll want to share it with your neighbors. And you'll continue the learning process, and you'll pass it down to the next generation.
Exactly. I mean, look at where we are now. We'll teach the curriculum of Black Lives Matter, but we won't teach the Constitution and the Federalist Papers. So, Sean Meehan, thank you so much for joining me, and I appreciate always your time right at the last minute. It's the Monica Jay Show. We'll be back right after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Got a different opinion? We've got your 50,000-watt megaphone, 99.1 FM Talk. Call 884-9910-KKFT.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Live and local FM Talk for all of Northern Nevada. We include everybody. So, log on, 991fmtalk.com. Answer today's poll question. Love to have your opinion on this. Will viruses and vaccines be the new form of terrorism? Well, Even Bill Gates said all the future wars will be won with bugs, germs. When it's coming from him, you might want to pay attention. Today's poll question and yesterday's poll questions, all the poll questions brought to you by Nissan of Carson City. Let's go to the talk and text line. We have a very special guest today who is going to hopefully clear up some of the distractions that are going on with our election system. And that is our very special guest of the Deputy Secretary of State for Elections, Wayne Thorley. Wayne, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me on.
So, Wayne, where are we at with the mail-in ballots? A lot of people are worried about this, but for the state of Nevada, how protected are we that the votes will be secure?
So we're in a really good place. So we're 81 days out from the election, so it's coming up quickly. But voting by mail is not new to Nevada. We've been allowing voters to vote by mail for a long time. So we have the safeguards and processes in place to make sure voting by mail is secure and safe. It's simply a matter of scaling that up, and we did that somewhat for our primary election a couple months ago, and of course we'll be scaling it up even more for this general election. But voters that want to vote by mail should definitely have confidence that if they vote that way, that their vote will be counted accurately. And of course, voters that want to vote in person can do that also, so it's really the voter's choice.
So let's talk about that, because we cover actually most of the counties here in northern Nevada, not just Washoe. So how do people find out what their county is going to do? Because I unfortunately said, you know, hey, early voting is going to be from October 17th to October 30th. Just go to the county clerk's office and they'll have the machines there. Yet that doesn't apply to all counties.
So the rules are actually pretty uniform statewide. So in every county, all active registered voters will be sent a ballot for this election. Also in all counties, voters will have the option to vote in person if they want, so they don't have to vote their mail ballot. And that 14-day early voting period that you mentioned that starts on Saturday, October 17th, that applies to all counties in Nevada. Now, the hours of operation may vary by county, and some counties may not be open on Sundays, but the 14-day period is standard. All voters will be mailed a sample ballot, just like they always are, and the sample ballot will contain information about all the polling locations in the county, hours of operation, dates, and so they'll have all that information. And certainly they can go to our website, too, and find that information.
Now, Douglas County didn't have in-person voting for the primary. Was that just the primary?
Correct. That was just the primary.
All
counties had extremely limited in-person voting for the primary, but it wasn't on voting machines. Washoe County did do voting machines for the primary, but the rest of the counties did in-person voting on just a paper ballot. It was the same ballot that was mailed to you. But that'll be different for the general election. The general election in-person voting will look much more familiar to our voters. It'll be a little different in that the polling place will be more spread out to accommodate social distancing, but we will be using the voting machines that voters are used to if a voter wants to vote in person.
Oh, okay. They just have to do it early. So now when
do it on election day also, too. The polls will be open 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on election day to vote in person. So it truly is a hybrid election. If a voter wants to vote by mail, they can vote by mail. If they want to vote in person, they can do that, too.
Now, we had a lot of call-ins to the show, and I received a lot of emails that people never received their primary ballots. How is the general election going to be different? How are you doing the information to get people their ballots? Do they need to request it, or are you just going by the voter rolls?
So voters do not need to request a ballot for the general election. That is new under Assembly Bill 4 that the governor recently signed. All active registered voters will automatically be sent a ballot for the upcoming November general election. So they do not need to request it. The address that we send that ballot to is the mailing address that we have on file for the voter. So All voters are definitely encouraged at this point to go to our website, check their voter registration status. If they've moved recently or they need to update their address, they can do that. And that's the most important thing that voters can do to make sure their ballot gets to them. And that website is register2votenv.gov.
So let me tell you about a personal situation that actually my producer and I were going through yesterday, and I found this interesting. Do the websites use cookies? Because on my home computer or on my studio computer where I'm at, I was pulling up my information to make sure it was accurate, put in my last name, put in my birthday, and it said file not found. Yet my producer did it in the studio, and everything came up. So is that a technical issue with my computer that, since I don't accept cookies, can you answer that?
No, that wouldn't be related to that. You know, I'd have to have more details to know exactly what went on. But certainly happy to talk with you offline about that. But no, I don't think it would be a technical issue. Sometimes that happens when the street file that the county uses is a little out of date. Voters who live in brand new developments, new housing developments, that haven't yet made it onto the county street file database may have trouble registering to vote online. I need to know just a little bit more about your specific situation.
Yeah, I should definitely tell you about that because it was very strange. And when little things like that happen to constituents, that's where things come in that make them unsure and feel insecure. What is the best thing for people who are worried about their information? Again, what do they need to do right now as we, like you said, are 81 days out?
Yeah. So voters need to be aware that voter registration information is public information under state law. The voter's social security number, driver's license number, and email address are confidential, but everything else under state law is public information and is easily accessible. Voters can, however, request that their phone number and address be confidential in the voter database. So if they're concerned about their information being out to the public, they can just contact their county election official and make that request. Many people don't understand that their party affiliation, date of birth, all that is public information. And the reason it's public information is we don't do anything in elections in private or behind closed doors. Everything is open to public inspection and observation by the public. And that's so public can have confidence and trust in the process and know that we're not doing things secretively behind closed doors.
All right. Well, Wayne, I thank you for your time, and hopefully we'll have you on as it gets closer because there's a lot of deadlines. So that always confuses people, too.
Absolutely. A lot of upcoming deadlines, and definitely happy to talk to you whenever. A lot of bad information out there, too, so happy to be the source of trusted information on this.
All right. Wayne, appreciate your time today. That is Wayne Thorley, who is the Deputy Secretary of Elections for the great state of Nevada. Wayne, have a fantastic weekend.
Thank you. You too, Monica.
All right. We'll be back after this quick break to wrap up the show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Live and local on 92.3 FM Talk in Smith and Mason Valley. 99.1 FM Talk and 99.1fmtalk.com.
Well, 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. I hope you have a great day. I have to ask my producer. I didn't do it offline when it was a commercial break because I forgot. But Craig, did you pull up that soundbite for me with the horse racing? You didn't? Okay. Well, I have something really, really fun to share with you that is just hysterical for Nevada. So I'll save that for Monday because we always have to have something to look forward to on Monday. It's so important, don't you think? But this weekend, get out and about. Even though it's a little bit hazy and overcast right now, that doesn't matter. You need to get out and get some sunshine on your face, whether it's at the and take off the mask when you're outside, please. Get your vitamin D in. I was having a conversation with somebody the other day, and the frustration is just building up too much in people. And this is what we're seeing. This is a hazard for your health. Okay? Forget social distancing, but instead practice mental distancing from the psychological operation of COVID. Protect your consciousness from the virus of fear. Every minute of every day that you're not doing something that brings you joy, that's another minute of every day that you've lost. You're not getting this time back. You're not getting the time with your family and friends back. You're not getting your time with work back. Of course, few people don't worry about that, but a lot of us do, because we love work. We love what we do, or we wouldn't do it. People wouldn't start businesses if they didn't love what they do. Now, I'm trying to be bright and upbeat and cheery for you, but now I have to warn the business owners, because once again, while you're seeing all the flash in the pan and the bright sparkly things over here in this hand, it's this hand that you should be watching. If you took out a PPP grant to keep your business open and to keep your employees from having to go onto unemployment, which was a huge debacle and still is in the first place, they may be pulling the bait and switch on you. Because now what was supposed to be a grant, the government is now looking at you to pay taxes on all that money. Yeah. To pay taxes on it. For some businesses out there, that's going to be a lot of money that the government wants back. When you were told that it was just a grant and it was going to be wiped out, don't worry about it. Keep your people employed. A lot of people got the PPP loan because they thought, well, why not? You know, I'm doing the job of the unemployment office, so heck, I'll do it. I'll keep people doing some deep cleaning and keep their families safe, keep the business going. But now is the bait and switch. Now that it's been used up, now that businesses tried, because remember, it was only supposed to be a couple weeks. Then it turned into a couple of months. And now here we are in the middle of August. Well, guess what? A lot of those businesses that tried to hang on by their fingertips, by their fingernails, by the skin of their teeth, now they're starting to shut down permanently. And guess what? It doesn't matter if you shut down permanently, because the government is still going to want that money back. Contact your financial advisors, contact your accountants, contact the government. This isn't right. We did our part. We shut down. We stopped our lives. We put it on hold because we trusted. And they are totally taking advantage of that trust. I know Gavin Newsom is pretty hated, but I don't think that there is a more hated man in this country than Steve Sisolak. I'm not even going to give him a title because it's just, he is destroying the name of that title. If you want to see him recalled, then fightfornevada.com is where you need to be, and you need to be at the trainings in Battle Mountain this Saturday and in Carson City this Sunday. We've got to have the volunteers in place before the paperwork for the petition will be signed. I know a lot of people aching to sign that petition, but until we get the backing, until we get the people to just get the signatures, we can't go forward. We can't go forward without you. I can't go forward without you. I love you. And I hope nothing but safety and fun for you this weekend, and family and joy. I know you hear me say it at the end, but I hope at some point you actually believe it. That God loves you. He loves all. Jesus died for all of our sins if we accept him. In the name of Jesus Christ, have a beautiful, beautiful weekend.